Hey, this is Mark, and I'm back again with another great episode of Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. And this week is no exception. This guy's name is Stephen Wampler. And Stephen is a guy that was born with cerebral palsy. And this is a disease that afflicts all the muscles from day one. Really, he hasn't been able to walk. He goes around in a wheelchair, but that has not stopped him. This guy is a force. And when he was 9 years old, he went out into the wilderness, and it really opened his mind up about how he could do anything in life. He's got this whole notion about adventure and ambition and being very positive about things, even though not everything plays in his favor. And so he started this camp really to provide opportunities for kids, other kids who have disabilities, that they could too also have that same experience that he had when he was a little kid. And so to bring awareness to this foundation, he decided to take on El Capitan, which is up in Yosemite. So if you can imagine hoisting yourself all the way to the top of this thing, which is a 2,000-foot sheer wall, took him 6 days, 5 nights to get there. And we just go through the whole thing. Very, very inspirational. The movie is about an hour and 10 minutes long. I stayed until the very end, right in the middle of my workday. I was in tears by the end. So very inspirational, as I said before, and just motivating, right, about what we can do in our lives, about paying it forward and really trying to turn around and help others in need, which he continues to do today. And as always, this podcast is brought to you by violetsorblueskincare.com from Cynthia Besteman, herself also a cancer survivor, overcoming that trauma and founding this all-natural skincare product line, which I love. And also, if you want to find out anything that I'm doing, you can do so at www.markpattisonnfl.com. I've got my Vincent climb coming up in January. You'll be able to track that via a Garmin technology that I will have baked into my website. And I've got an e-learning course that's coming out soon, which I'm fired up about. Okay, so check out this pod. And also, side note, Stephen does have a little bit of a speech impediment. It's not a big deal, but just sit through it. The guy is a beautiful soul. And just brought everything to this pod. Love talking to him. And one of the better ones I've done. Okay? So on that note, let's go talk to Stephen. Here we go.
Hey, it's Mark. And I'm back with another really inspirational and incredible podcast. This week, I've got Stephen Wampler. This guy is an amazing soul. We're going to get into all the details of why that is. Cat out of the bag to start. Stephen is a guy who was born with cerebral palsy. He's been living with that for his entire life, and that has not slowed him down at all. Today, I am broadcasting from Sun Valley, Idaho, all the way to Coronado, which is just outside San Diego, California. Stephen, how you doing?
Good. And you?
Well, listen, you know, I think life is all about perspective, right? And I originally got into my mountain climbing. I grew up in Seattle, Washington, but, you know, it was about 7 years ago. I was going through a rough time. And when you're going through a rough time, you think that the whole world is just revolves around your little orbit. And you tend to forget sometimes that, you know, other people out there have, you know, bigger problems than what you have. And what you've been able to accomplish in your life with so much positivity and energy and contribution while paying it forward is just been, you know, truly amazing. And boy, there's a lot of things I want to get into today. But the first thing is you were born with this condition. Is that correct?
Yes. It happened during birth. I came out blue and they had no idea why. It was caused by getting stuck in my mom's birth canal. That's what caused the CP.
Yeah, so at I was reading that, you know, your parents, one of the gifts that they gave you was the gift of saying, look, at you've got other siblings. It is what it is, and we're not going to treat you any different. And you're just going to have to, like, learn to cope, and we're going to help you where we can. But, you know, we're going to treat you like everybody else.
And that's how it was. Five kids. Yeah, and they all just survived, and they just said, get on with it.
Yeah, that's great. And that's, you know, I did a podcast on another guy that I actually met literally on about 21,000 feet up in Argentina on a mountain called Aconcagua, and he has no arms or legs. And, you know, and what his parents had taught him is like, look, you've got two other siblings, and we're not going to treat you any differently. And so he was able to do and accomplish, and he has so much, just like you. As I was reading, when you were 9 years old, you went off to a wilderness camp. And from what I understood, that was a very defining moment in your life. Can you explain more about that?
It was. I was scared of where I was going because my mom and dad basically just put me on a bus and said, you're going for a week. And we went out to the middle of nowhere up in the high Sierras, and it's basically where I learned I could do anything I put my mind toward, and it just opened my mind to so many possibilities.
Yep. So can you give me abilities?
Yeah, it was just life changing.
Can you give me an example of some of the things that you did? I don't know. It might have been swimming in the water. It could have been singing or playing an instrument. I don't know. But what would be an example?
It was sleeping on the ground under the stars in the middle of the woods and knowing that, there was bears and coyotes and wolves out there that could easily, I don't want to say attack, but, I mean, you're out there in the middle of nowhere, and you just learn that you can cope with anything, and it just changed my whole outlook on life.
Well, I think, you're right. I grew up in the Northwest in Seattle and spent a lot of time in the mountains. I still do, obviously. And, you know, it just gives you a freedom, too, and not just doing anything in life, but there's so much clarity. You just talked about being able to not only be out in nature, but you're staring at the stars and you don't have cell phones ringing. And it's just very calm. And it's just a great environment, I think, to really get clear about where you want to go.
And that's what we're doing now. 41 years later, I have the camp now, and we're doing the exact same thing with kids. And it's their first time out in the middle of nowhere, and it's changing lives like mine was changed for 41 years ago. I can see it in the kids every week.
So what year... or how many years ago did you start this camp, which is your, I mean, it's amazing. So what this camp is kids with disabilities, it gives them the opportunity to get out into nature and really teach them that they can overcome anything in life. I do want to read this. Before I ask you to comment on this, I read this quote by you, and it says that your dream is to help inspire kids to achieve what they want in life. And that's beautiful for anybody. But in particular for kids who, you know, for some people may have gotten left behind, and to give them the opportunity of optimism on where they can go is really amazing. So when did you start this camp?
2002. I was looking for something to really change people's lives. And I just wanted to give back. In 2002, I just started without knowing anything about the nonprofit world. And I just started, and it's grown from there. And now, almost 18 years later, it's just It's magical. We're helping so many kids around the country realize their full potential in life. It's just, it's so rewarding and so, it's indescribable.
I bet. It really is incredible. You know, I'm just thinking about the amount of lives, and it's always the trickle down effect where you change one kid's lives, and they can do in terms of, you know, as the water, the rock in the water ripples out, and what they're able to do, and you know, you being kind of the center of that universe of creating that camp, you know, have changed. I don't know. I mean, if you're talking about 18 years, and you know, I don't know. What do you have, 200 or 300 kids that attend this camp? It's pretty
hard. I would say it's in the hundreds of kids that we change in some way, shape, or form. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we just got a new property donated by a generous donor in Phoenix, and we doubled our size this past summer, and it's just, there's such a need for this kind of experience, and it's not fulfilled that much at all. So we're just building, and hopefully we can have hundreds of kids every year go through this program.
Where is this camp located? I think it's in Northern California, right?
Yeah, it's up by Tahoe. It's up on Donner Summit, around 7,000 feet up in the Sierras.
Love Lake Tahoe. It's an incredible spot.
Yeah, it really is.
So look at you have, you know, look, you're born in a certain way. You haven't let life slowed you down. You went to UC Davis, went to college, graduated in environmental as an environmental engineer.
Yep.
At what point in time after your life, so I imagine, you know, once you graduate, you were around 21, 22 years old. Yeah. What point in your life did you meet your amazing wife, Elizabeth?
We met when I was 24, just by random chance, through friends of mine, and it took a while. It took her about 4 or 5 months to get used to the chair, get used to me, and then we got married in 1995 in July. So we've been married for 23 years.
That's incredible. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, look, it a lot of these things, and we're going to get into this crazy journey that you went through on El Capitan. But you know, with any endeavor that you do, it takes a village, it takes a team of people to make those things happen. And you've got two beautiful, healthy kids, and your wife is an incredible force. And you know, the thing that I saw, she did a TED Talk, and it was really about the power of love, and it was really about the power of seeing through, in your case, disabilities, and really, you know, the force of nature that you are and all that you bring to the table. And that's what she fell in love with, which is obviously a very beautiful thing.
Yeah, but again, it took her a while, but she overcame it. And it's an easy marriage.
That's awesome. I mean, look, I'm one of the casualties that's out there that was married for 24 years and it didn't work out. And one of my great failures in life. And any time that somebody, you know, is happily in a blissful situation with their partner of, you know, 10, 20, whatever that number is, you know, it's just amazing. And I'm envious of that. And, you know, I congratulate you. So let's move on to 2008, and or maybe it was 2009. I think it was 2009. So you're up in Yosemite, and you're hanging out by yourself. Maybe some other people are around, but
yeah,
you know, you're gazing out into the distance, And what was going through your mind? What did you come up with? And I want to set this kind of as the tone of what ultimately was to come in terms of this great challenge that you took on.
I had some, like any growing company or nonprofit, we had some growing pain issues, and we were looking for some way to put a foundation on that. And I didn't want to do the token drive my wheelchair across the country, because that's how it'd been done numerous times. And it's kind of like I wanted to do a very physical challenge. And I just happened to be sitting in the valley floor, and I looked up at LCAP, and I said to myself, well, if I know this guy can do it, why not just go for it? So I went back to the campfire that night, and a guy named Mark Wellman was there at the campfire, along with a bunch of buddies of his. And they're like, and I said to one of the coming guys, what do you think it would take for me to climb LCAP? And he looked at me and said, well, when's the last time you worked out? I said, it's been a while. But I can start that back up. And then, do you know how to climb? I said, no, but I can learn how to. So I went back home. I didn't say a word to anyone for about 4 or 5 months. I got back in the gym. I started working out. And man, oh man, I was out of shape. Oh my God. But I had a guy that lived in San Diego helping me out, figuring out how we're going to do this. And so over 18 months, I worked out like 3 to 5 hours a day, 6 days a week in the gym. And I did practice climbing and Joshua Tree and a bunch of indoor gyms around San Diego. And that's how the whole thing got started. And then the climb was supposed to be in May.
Wait. I got to slow you down a little bit.
Okay.
Because this is such a profound thing. I don't want to get what you're taking on and what you're about to do get lost in all this conversation, okay? So you're just to recap, so I have it right, you're sitting in Yosemite, which I've been there several times. I've climbed Half Dome twice, which is amazing in itself. And every time I've been on Half Dome, I've looked across the valley, and what you can see is this incredibly sheer rock they call El Capitan. And people come from all over the world to try to scale this straight up 2,000 foot face rock. I mean, you literally are going straight up. And so, so your plan was to make an impact to that you wanted to. So for a guy who has grown up in a wheelchair, your goal was to scale straight up this rock face that has never been done before by anybody with CP. And right. You were going to make this happen, even though you had no idea how you were going to take this on.
I had no idea. I've never climbed in my entire life, ever.
Okay, so the other thing I heard too is that once you got into the gym, now you're working out hardcore 5, 6, sometimes 7 days a week, and you had to get into a position where you developed tremendous arm strength, right? So was it? Did I read this number wrong? But you're doing 3,000 pull-ups per day.
Yes. I do 3,000 pull-ups a day and 100, I do reps of 100 and twice my body weight.
That's, look at, if I can do 10, maybe 20, I'm a happy guy. 3,000 is off the chart.
Yeah, it would take me a good 3 hours to do that.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so that's 2009. So now you go through 18 months of training. Now you talk to a couple buddies. You know, look, to do this, obviously you needed help, and you needed help, like not my help, because I don't rock climb, I mountain climb, alpine climb. But you needed guys who actually knew what they were doing in terms of going up that kind of terrain and how to navigate and come up with some kind of system. So how did that all come together?
Well, I took my engineering degree to work, and I basically started up with Mark Wellman's climbing apparatus, which to me was not comfortable at all because I have feeling in my legs, unlike Mark. So I was in a harness trying to climb up in the gym in a harness, and like, this isn't going to work because my legs have fallen asleep and I'm in, it's just too painful. So I came up with this chair-like thing that laid parallel to the ground and balanced perfectly. So I would, whenever I did a pull-up, the chair would go up 2 or 3 or 4 inches at a time. And it took us 9 iterations of building that chair to get it down perfect for balance.
Yeah, so you literally invented this chair, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I saw this. We're going to get into Wampler's Ascent here in a second. But for those who are listening, I saw this visually. So if you can picture basically a lounge chair tethered to a long-ass rope, which obviously would have been above Stephen on the rock that these other two guides were securing. And then essentially he was cranking with his arms this device that would be essentially pulling himself all the way up the mountain, and that's where the 3,000 push-ups, you know, in training came in handy. So, okay, so now 18 months later, so now we're in what, 2010, 2011?
Yeah, 2010 September.
Beautiful time up there too, by the way.
Gorgeous. I thought it would be a little bit cooler, but it was so hot. Oh my God, it was like 90 degrees every day.
Yep. So now this took you five nights, six days.
Yep.
And tell me what you put your body through.
Oh my God. One thing that I did not take into account for whatsoever was the mental fatigue I would experience during the climb. I mean, it's one thing when you're working at the gym for 5 hours a day doing 3,000 pull-ups, but when you're on a sheer rock wall doing 4 or 5,000 pull-ups a day over a 10-hour period scraping along the side of the rock. It was just, mentally, it just was horrible. Physically, I didn't really feel it until like the end of the third day. Because I was in really good shape all the way until the third day. And then it really hit me. Emotionally, mentally, and physically all at one time.
This podcast is brought to you by Laird Superfoods. Let me tell you, these creamers are so amazing. They're super tasty, super delicious, and what they are is whole natural food ingredients mixed into these creamers. And I'm telling you, when you put this stuff into your drink, this powder substance, it is amazing. And their whole tagline is all about fueling your journey. You cannot go and actually power your way up a mountain, be in the pool, ride a big wave, unless you're properly fueled. And these guys are doing it all the right way. So where can you find this? at lairdsuperfood.com. And here's the kicker. If you use the code name MarkP20, that's MarkP20, you're going to get 20% off on your first order. So check it out, lairdsuperfood.com.
I was in really good shape. I wore it on the third day. And it really hit me emotionally, mentally, and physically all at one time.
Well, look, I've been on a number of different mountains all over the world now. I've got Vincent and Mount Everest coming around the corner. And I just came off of Denali up in Alaska and going through all my football stuff, you know, two-a-days in the NFL and in college. And something that I've come to learn and embrace is that pain is temporary. Right? And so much of the human spirit and the human endurance is all about your mind games and overcoming that. And once you like embrace that and understand that, you know, you're super uncomfortable and you hurt and everything else, but you can train your mind to get tough. And a lot of that toughness, I believe, comes from having been in great physical condition to start. Yeah. That can put you in the best possible position to succeed. And that's exactly what you did.
Even though I worked my butt off for basically 18 months, and I probably could have worked another 5 years, it would have been the exact same time, because I didn't know what I was going to get into mentally. And that was the hardest part of the entire 6 days.
Wow. So yeah. Now you get into the third or fourth day, and you still have a couple days to go until you get to the top. Was there ever a point in there where either the guys, your rope team members, or yourself thought that this is it, I can't go any further?
Yeah, day four, I passed out, I was dehydrated, went into hypothermic shock, and basically they're like, oh my God, what the hell? We got ourselves into. They got me up to the port ledge. I was like 10 to 15 feet below where I needed to be. I passed out, and they basically, that was the only assistance that I got the entire time. Is on that day when I passed out, they took me up to the port ledge. Woke me up. And basically just had me drink water for like 5 or 6 hours. After that, I was fine, but it was still a horrible experience.
Man, I love that, because, you know, you're not the only one who's gone through that. And essentially what you're saying is you were cranking so hard, and it was so hot, and just the physical exertion, you were so dehydrated, it just like soaked all the energy out of your body, and it's just hard to go forward when you're in that position.
And then the wind came up, and I was really hot, and then all the sweat in my body, just I was really cold, so I went into hypothermic shock just from the wind alone. It was horrible.
You know, something that was really cool was in this film that we're going to talk about. I saw that your wife Elizabeth, of course, and your two kids were there. They're watching you amongst a bunch of others, and they essentially had this big ass telescope that was obviously down on one of the roads, but it's got this great exposure to the face that you're climbing, and so they could watch you in action. Going up this mountain and with this rock face to the top. And they had a little secret plan on the other side of all that. And that was when you were going to summit, which you did. And, you know, obviously the final cranks as you're going up and finally making all the way up, you're just like, oh gosh, I mean, just obviously exhausted and just relieved and all those other things, but what was the big surprise that was waiting for you up top?
My buddy brought my 10-year-old son up to meet me at the top. I had no idea at all. network, they kept it so quiet, and it just was such an emotional time to see my son at the top. It was unreal. Unreal.
Yeah, so your 10-year-old son, he makes it up there. And, you know, look, as I was watching you guys embrace and just, you know, all the emotions. And, you know, look, I can't relate to your exact situation, obviously, but I can relate to the euphoric elation that one has when you finally make it to the summit and you've gone through all kinds of obstacles and you know, hell to right. get to that point, right? The one thing I could, so it was very emotional for me when I was watching that whole scene play out. But the one thing that I couldn't understand in that was how he got up there.
They walked up the backside. There's like a 5-hour trail to the top of the backside. So he walked up with a bunch of buddies of mine that were in the Marine Corps. To get me up the top, and that's how they got up there on that trail on the backside.
Yeah, no, that was super cool. Okay, so let's talk about this movie. So this is actually where I discovered you, and there's this movie that's out there, Wampler's Ascent, and it's about an hour. And I got to tell you, I somehow or another it came into my orbit. I may have seen it on YouTube or Facebook or something. And normally I don't, in the middle of the day, my work day, I'm so busy with different things to stop everything and start watching. And I just got consumed with watching this film and you know, the preparation, what you're going to do, the interaction between yourself and your amazing wife, Elizabeth, and your kids and all the support team that helped you get up. And then actually, you know, day by day, how this thing played out. What did you know at the time there was going to be? Well, obviously there was a film crew. Did you get it sponsored or how did you?
I did get it sponsored. I went to a corporation in San Diego. Kind of new to the scene 8-9 years ago. I just asked them if they would be interested in sponsoring me as the athlete and the film, and they said, "Sure, we'll do whatever we want to do." So they sponsored the entire thing, and that company has been with me ever since.
It was really incredible because the footage is amazing, you know, when you're up on the rock and you must have had a drone or something going on, but it's just whoever was there to film did a fantastic job and then putting the whole thing together to create that story. And has this film now gone out into film festivals across the country, the world? How has that played out?
The funny thing is, Mark, I had no idea how to do any of it. So basically, we got the film back. My wife didn't like it. And my wife recut the film. And we liked the film after she recut it. And then I started submitting to about 100 film festivals around the world, not knowing anything about it at all. And then I got picked up by 55 of them around the world. So basically for 3 years it was on the film festival circuit, and we won 38 awards over that 3-year period.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, it's interesting too, because I thought that this whole thing, this adventure, this climb, this summit, everything you had done had happened like within the last 12 months. And I didn't realize that this was, you know, it's 2018 now, and this whole thing happened back in 2010.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, and it's still going on. I still get requests to show the movie and speak, and I'm a motivational speaker now. I travel around the country all the time, and it's just it's something that I thought would last for like 6 months to a year, but 8 years later, it's still going strong.
Well, as I see it too, you know, you go back and you go to that vision that you had back in 2009, and really the ultimate goal was that you wanted to bring more exposure to this yeah. amazing camp that you started, you know, a number of years ago, and again, give opportunity to kids who have disabilities to come to this wonderful spot in near Lake Tahoe, so they can experience that they can do anything in life.
Yeah, I mean. That's the whole goal, and it worked. It worked. So we're really trying to get the film out there on a network like Netflix or Hulu or something like that, but we just haven't had the luck yet. So we're keeping our fingers crossed, and we're hoping somebody picks it up.
Well, it's again, it's a very inspirational film, and there's something that you know I've actually circled, because these are, I think, your words, and I think they really apply to everybody. And you call your, you know, what your you know, your CP that you have is a disability. I really call it a ability, because of all the people that you have helped. You've got this tagline called adventure, optimism, self-reliance, and ambition. And I think yeah. that if everybody had those four qualities about them, you know, the world would be a better place.
A much better place. I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. Where do you go from here? And let me just set the stage really quickly and repeat something you said, that you still show the film. You're on the speaker circuit, which is amazing. I saw you on a TEDx, and both you and your wife together, and you just by yourself, and you did a really outstanding job. You run this camp. You're out there raising funds. What else beyond that are you doing? I mean, that's a lot in itself right there, but what I hope to do is just bring more awareness to what you're doing, and I want to make sure that people have an opportunity to donate to your great cause if they so choose to, and we're going to certainly put that in the show notes, and we're on your website. You know, in terms of, is there anything more that you're doing to really create this opportunity for these kids?
I've got a 5-year plan now. We just started last month on our endowment for that foundation. It's gonna be a 5-year project. And it's going to be a lot of work.
Well, look, I don't think anything can be any tougher than climbing up the face of El Capitan in the lounge chair. I mean, I mean, incredible, amazing. Yeah. You know, I mean, there's not enough accolades I can say about you, your ambition, and things that you're doing. And most importantly, again, is just, you know, paying it forward and helping other kids and giving them the light that they can do anything in life.
Exactly. That's what it's all about. And hopefully these kids will go on to college, get a great job, and really get a lot out of life overall. And that's the whole goal, the whole mission of what we're doing.
Then where can people find you?
On wampwoodfoundation.org. I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, I'm everywhere. I'll live happy to go online and look me up.
Awesome, awesome. Stephen, Stephen, Wampler, Wampler. We're going to put those in the show notes and cool. Make sure that we have your WamplerFoundation.org, you know, front and center. I got to tell you again, this has been very inspirational for me. And when I saw the film, I was like a chocolate mess afterwards. And it took me about 20 minutes before I could get back into work mode and refocus and dial back up to what I do, you know, day to day. But was inspired. It was just like, you know, this podcast is all about finding your summit, overcoming adversity, and finding your way. And certainly you've done that in spades. So, you know, thank you very much for giving me that gift.
Yeah. Thank you for taking the time, and thank you for sharing the story.
Absolutely, buddy. Okay, have a great day.
Okay. You have a great one, Mark. Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Hey, Hey, and thank you so much for listening to the Find Your Summit podcast. We are so glad to have you along for this journey. And if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, share it on iTunes, spread it to the planet. We're looking to broadcast this to every person that is out there because, as you know, everybody has their own summit that they're going after. Okay, if you're looking to follow my journey, you can find that through my social links on markpattisonnfl.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, nfl.com. So, until the next podcast, just remember, clear eyes, full hearts, and remember, it takes a little more to make a champion, so make it happen. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.